All right, thank you for being here tonight. Wonderful crowd. I'm sure we have a bunch of the children over there in the Patch the Pirate Club. And thank you for being here. A couple of things before we get started. but by the way, I hope you sign up for the soul winning training that we're having a week from Saturday. Okay, all of us need to learn how to be able to share our faith. The Bible tells us that if someone were to come to us and ask us to give them an answer for the hope that we have in Christ, we should be able to tell them. And so we may not know how to do that or may not be proficient, but that's why we have the training to help you with that. So I hope you'll sign up. That's junior high and above. Then you see all the different classes that we just got the signs up. The teenagers are off to a good start. Let's have someone here for Friend Day, okay? If everybody has just one friend, we'll have a great group of people. And so we invite you to do that. We have about exactly, actually, 1 month until Friend Day, a little over 4 weeks. And if we can get about 250 contracts a week, which we typically can do as a church, we can get 1,000 invitations, and it's just going to be a fantastic day. So I encourage you to get somebody to be here. And the building, we are that close, and I hate to stand like a broken record, but I'm the kind of person, I know I'm supposed to be patient as a Christian, pray for me, but I struggle with that. And the fire inspection has just been one irritation after another all summer. They were busy, people on vacation, but that's over. And so we just need the final to come, and they'll come, and really they're just looking for the corrections. And so, things take time. And then also I just want to say thank you for the missions revival and your your commitment to that. We took an offering to help the pastor in the restricted access nation to get some land. He needs 10,000. I think we got about, the last I heard, about 5,000 for that. We may have some more. And so we'll take another special offering on Sunday. And also, you can do it at any time on Simple Give. And it would be nice if we could buy that land for them and just invest in what they're doing over there. And just doing a phenomenal, phenomenal job in a very, very tough area getting the gospel out. So if you didn't get a chance to be a part of that, or you'd like to be a part of it, you can do that up and through Sunday. Well, now we're getting back into our Bible study. We're going through Proverbs, and we're talking about the wisdom of avoidance. We're looking at certain subjects, certain topics that Proverbs talks about that we need to avoid being a part of or avoid making mistakes in. And so we've been doing it for quite a while now in Proverbs. To be honest with you, you could spend a lot of time in Proverbs. And so it's very important because Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And wisdom has nothing to do with IQ. Wisdom has nothing to do with intelligence. It has to do with learning and understanding God's word and making it a part of your everyday life. We started looking at our ninth point last time we were together, sloppy parenting. Okay, sloppy parenting. So that sounds that actually sounds a little mean, but they all had to start with S, and so we had to get that one in there somehow. Raising our children, helping them to grow and to mature and become the spiritual adults that God wants them to be. By way of review, I'll just give you a couple of the things. It'll take 1 minute, and then we'll get to something new. But one of the greatest problems we have in our society is the destruction of the family. It's been going for years and years and years. And every metric you can look at, every statistic you can look at tells you that when it comes to, and this isn't even from just a spiritual standpoint, but just from a societal standpoint, children do better when they are in a what we would call a nuclear family, mom, dad, and children, and that they are working together with the children. Little bullet point. The ones who suffer the most when a family is not right is the children. The children, unfortunately, get the fallout when things are not done right. And as I think about it, it's especially sad when Christian families that are together, married and intact, because they do not see it from their spiritual standpoint, they don't fulfill their responsibilities, and they don't have the family that they actually could have if they would follow God's word in this area. We talked about last week, first of all, that the parents are the key. So let's get into something new. Now, the next little point there. The path must be right. Okay? Our goal is to, and it's been a goal of our church when we think about the faith, our goal is to raise the next generation. You cannot read the Bible, you cannot look at the Bible without seeing the importance of that. The children of Israel, and if you look at the Old Testament, God made it very clear to him, he wanted to take the things he did, and he wanted that generation to pass them on to the next generation, and they would pass it on to the next generation. He didn't want them to forget about everything that God had done. That's why, not the only reason, but that's why he had the feast. They would have these different feasts, and the children are like, hey, why do we celebrate this? And it would be their opportunity to say, hey, we celebrate this because this represents what God did, and they explained it to them. Or why do we have these memorials? These memorials, they would see, it represents something God did, and it would give them an opportunity to explain what God did and pass it on. And so, and by the way, I'm very thankful. We have a good group of young people in our church. You know, I jokingly say, if you look at here, and I don't know how it's just working out, the majority of our folks that sing, particularly on Sunday, except in the choir, they're all younger. They're the next generation of our church that were children. Right? A couple weeks ago, I think it was Crystal Diaz, your group sang. And you're not that old, but I'm like, hey, that's the old people's group. They're in their 40s, okay? And but that's intentional. We want to make sure that our young people are, and our families are strong, and that the faith gets taken to the next generation. And some of these things we're talking about are the things which would help us to get it right. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27 says, the wicked are overthrown and are not. Overthrown means they're overturned, it's humbled, perverted. But the house of the righteous shall stand. It's talking about a household, a family. The context here is not just a personal punishment for sin, although that can be there, the wicked are overthrown. Because a person, the context is greater than that, because a person who is living a life that's maybe receiving some punishment for their actions, that also is going to seep over into their family and in turn, and also into their home. You can't separate the two. Now, you can look at it from the negative aspect. Hey, if I'm not being right with God and I'm not doing these things or whatever, it's going to translate my family, but you can also look at it from a positive as well. If I'm trying to be righteous and I'm trying to do the right thing, that is also going to translate into my home. And it's going to make for a better marriage. It's going to make for better children. It's going to make for more harmony. And so we have to determine that we are going to have the right path in our home. How does that happen? I think you have a little bullet there. We determine by our lifestyle. Is that, Brother Nick? It sounds weird to me. Does it sound weird to you too? Is that me? So I'm not weird. I've been told otherwise. Okay. We determine by our lifestyle what type of home we will have. Think about that. You see, so often we disconnect how we live, which determines who we are, we disconnect that from the results we're going to see in our marriage and our families. And the fact of the matter is that, to a large extent, is going to determine the type of families and marriages that we have. If we have a life that would be more defined as sinful or allowing some of that into our life, we're going to have there's a greater chance to have a home of drama and problems. You say, well, I'll just deal with it. But you have children. And they get the shrapnel. They're the unintended consequence. I'm living more to be righteous, I'll have a home that's a little more established and secure. Understand that whenever we start to lower, and I mean this from a spiritual standpoint, okay? So understand where I'm coming from. Whenever we start to lower our level of living on a spiritual plane, you're going to naturally lower your level of commitment, and it's going to lower your standards or your principles and or your boundaries in life, and that can bring destruction into your home. Proverbs 14:11, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. So that just, it was implied in the other verse, it's straight up said there. But the tabernacle of the righteous, of the upright, shall flourish. One of the sad things to me, and it happens to people, and I'm not being mean-spirited here, but people that have come, and maybe they grew up in a Christian home, or maybe they were in church for a while, and God was working in their lives, God was working in their family, and things were going good. And the sad thing is sometimes they get away from God, and they don't understand the damage to their children. It's like now the children have probably little spiritual influence. And a person who would love their child would want that kind of spiritual influence, but I think sometimes we just don't see it if we get away from God. And so what used to be a strong marriage now starts having, you know, cracks in the foundation. Because the fact of the matter is we're all human and we need God's help. Okay, come on now. It's not, well, you know, everything will just be good because I'm a good person. How does that work? We're all human. We need God's help. We need God's spirit in our life. We need God's word in our life. And so it starts to crack at the marriage. And then you see it in the children. You start to loosen up on things because we're looking at it from a different mindset. So what path should we have? Well, first of all, it should be a spiritual path. That's what you want for your children. Okay? You know, you ask the average person, what do you want for their child? And they'll just say, I want them to be healthy and happy. And I'm not against that. I want them to be healthy too. But, you know, I want them to have happiness. The Bible calls that joy. The problem is we have to understand where ultimately that foundation would be laid. Where does it come from? That comes from our relationship with God. Everything else is just a crapshoot. We're just rolling the dice, and we hope we get snake eyes or whatever. Seven. Do you want seven or snake eyes? I don't know which one you want. I haven't gambled for a couple weeks. But so I don't want to just roll the dice with my children. You know, me, I want to put myself in the best position to see success. And the best position to see success is a spiritual position. I want God's help in everything I'm doing. I'm not smart enough or any of that stuff. How can we do that? Well, first it starts that there must be parents that spend time with God. Okay? I mean, we all have weaknesses. But I know this. If I can spend time with God, I'm going to have a better chance of controlling that weakness and changing that weakness and having it transformed. But I need God's perspective in my life on a daily basis. And I get that when I open His Word and I look at His Word. It just helps to keep me in line. They also must be complete obedience to God's Word. Okay? I just don't want to carry a Bible in my life and you know, have a bumper sticker or that kind of thing or have the Christian t-shirt. I want to try to live what God is actually saying. Right? Be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Because James tells us the blessing doesn't come just in hearing the word. The blessing comes when we actually do what that word says. But we can't do that if we don't know what it is. And so we have to learn it and then we obey it. I believe there must be faithfulness to God's house. Listen, the church is not man's idea, it was God's idea. We need a church family, and we need a place where we go together, where we're encouraged in the Word of God. We're encouraged as Christians to do the right thing and go the right direction. We need that on a regular basis, where we can be, you know, energized to be what we need to be. And by the way, let me just say this. Parents, if we, you know, look, everything we do sends a message to our children, right? So, children, I know there's church today, but there's this, you know, whatever it is. We have a chance to go to this party or go to this thing or go do this. You know what the unintended, you may not believe it, but the unintended message you're sending to the children is church is important unless there's something else more important. Come on. See? And I want to send that message. I want them to understand, you know what, children, God's a priority. And so I'm going to give him first place in this, and everything else I want to do, I'm going to kind of fill that in after that in my schedule. So faithfulness. And then there must be a visible love for Christ. Now notice I didn't say there must be perfection. We're all canceled out. But you know what? If you love Christ and you're trying to do the right thing, you're going to be okay. And your children don't expect you to be perfect. But if they can see that, you know what? You legitimately love Jesus and you're just trying to do the right thing, that sends a message and it's a great example to them. So there must be a spiritual path. And then there also must be a, here's where we struggle, there must be a specific path. Specific. Here's the deal. And I'll give you both and I'll explain. We must have some guidelines. Okay? Guidelines. We must have some convictions. Where do we get the convictions and the guidelines? God's word. Not some of them are common sense, right? You know, eat your vegetables. You know, don't run in the street. I don't think those are in the Bible. But they're good. But I'm talking about what happens is we can be spiritual and do those things, but if we're afraid to say, hey, these are the things that we do, and these are the things that we don't do. Why are we afraid to do that? You know, look, a four-year-old has no clue what they're doing. Children have to be raised, and we have to give them guidelines. We have to. And we get those from the Word of God. And so we don't just, so this path is very specific. Here's the things. And you know what we struggle with sometimes? And Satan will throw this in our face. Sometimes as a parent, especially if you struggled with something and you had a difficult time and maybe you strayed a little bit. And so because you've struggled, now you're afraid to you feel like a hypocrite giving your children guidelines, boundaries, right? So what you do is work on your deficiencies, but give them guidelines. Don't just let them do what they want. Proverbs says, a child left to himself bringeth to his mother shame. God didn't give them to us just to say, here, do what you want. Or be sloppy with it. Because that's going to lead them down a wrong path. They need some guidelines in their life. Next, the purpose must be clear. The purpose must be clear. There must be a purpose just beyond, you know, our personal joy or fulfillment. Let's have something better. Proverbs 27, verse 1. 127, I'm sorry, verse 1. He says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh in vain. Because he says, look, we need to have that God build the house. It needs to be, he needs to be the ultimate builder. Now, he delegates to us, and we're steward of the children he gave us, but if he needs to build the house, and it's his blueprint, and we need to follow it. If you look in the Bible, you can't help but see that really the goal for us and the goal for our children should be, it's right there in the notes, honor God and bless others. Honor God and bless others. Where do we get that from? The greatest command in the Bible, right? Jesus said, what's the greatest command? Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and all thy soul. We love him. And 1 Corinthians tells us we're supposed to honor him and glorify him in everything we do. He wants everything we have. But then he says, the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're supposed to love others. So really, we ought to have our purpose like children. Your purpose in life is to glorify and honor God in everything you do. And to love others the way that Christ tells us to love them. That's a great purpose. That's a purpose outside of the norm. But there's no way we can do that if God is not the one building the home. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, look what it says. We'll touch on this a little bit. Every wise woman buildeth her house, But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. One of the biggest problems we have is that, I want to be sensitive here, I don't think it's true with us, but it may be, mothers no longer want to be mothers. You say, oh, that's right, Pastor, get on them. You too, Dad. Like, mom's supposed to do everything so you can live in the basement and play video games? Come on now. We had the children. They should be important. By the way, motherhood's attacked in our society. Now, if you have more than like 3 kids, you tell people how many kids you have, they look at you like you're some kind of freak. Like, don't you guys know how to stop that? Children are a blessing. But parents, what we're doing, and he mentions mothers specifically, we're finding fulfillment in everything outside of our family. Now, family's the most fulfilling thing that you'll ever have. Didn't get any amens on that one. Say, yeah, but I have a bunch of 2-year-olds. Okay, I understand that. They'll grow. That's where fulfillment comes from. Serving God and loving our families. The reason I mention mothers is because it is under attack. More women today are choosing for their life purpose a career as opposed to having a family. And I know, I get it. A lot of women have to work. And I get all that. There's nothing wrong with that. But even if we work, that's not our primary source of satisfaction in our life. It ought to be our families. It ought to be. Because long after all of that is done, you know what remains? Your children. Your husband, your whatever. The same thing with the husband. Well, yeah, she does everything and I don't do anything. Really? Really? We need a dad in the home. And not a dad that's an absentee dad. Always wants to be out with his buddies. By the way, if you're married, gentlemen, can I just say this? I'll say it nicely. Grow up. You're not single anymore. That's what getting married says. I am committing to this person. It's not going over very well. I'm committing to this relationship. And everything else is secondary. And then we don't live like that. And we wonder why our marriages struggle. We need to work on that. So that's the most important thing. And by the way, say, how important is that? I'll tell you how important it is. That's the most important thing that a child needs to see in the home, mom and dad together in love. That's it. Now, and I know we have single parents and stuff, and you can get through that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, when there's a family at home, they don't want to just see mom and dad. And they're never around each other. And dad's always out. And they're sleeping in different rooms and all the nonsense. They want to see parents that are in love. That, by the way, children get security from that. Security goes a long way. And so it's very, very important that we do that. Next, there's some principles that must be obeyed. There are some principles that must be obeyed. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 3. He says, the Bible says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding is it established. So if we're going to have the right kind of home, if we're going to have the right kind of family, and you can spread it out, if you're going to have the right kind of marriage relationship, that is built through wisdom. We understand what wisdom is. The ability to live and apply God's truth. So how does that apply to the family? Wisdom is the ability to apply what God says about the family to my family's everyday life. By the way, you're supposed to know that. How do we do that? We spend time in the Bible. We learn the Bible. We find out what God says. By the way, I know, and I like to read, there's all kinds of books about child rearing and family and all this stuff, and you can learn a lot of really good principles. But those principles better come from God's word. Those principles better come from what God says. Because the fact of the matter is, we will hear things from people. Sometimes we hear them from friends. Sometimes we hear stuff from associates or family members, well-meaning. Well, this is just how I do it in their family. But does it line up with Scripture? Because the only thing that has the sure promise of success is what the Bible says. Everything else is just, you know, it may sound good, but there's no promise of success in that. It's in the Scriptures. And that's what wisdom is. Wisdom, ability to apply the principles of Scripture to everyday situations in my family. Remember, the Bible talked about the three main individuals in Proverbs, right? The wise man, the one who seeks to find God's word principles and live them. And then you have the foolish man. This is a person who defies God's principles. And then you have the simple man. He doesn't know God's principles. Well, if that's what we talk about wisdom, let's apply it to the family. First, the wise man is the man who seeks to learn God's principles about the family and live them. Do you really want to know what it takes to have a good family? You've got to know the word of God. You have to. That's the only thing that's going to give you what you need to raise children, particularly in the times in which we live. There is so much out there that is just anti-God. And it's nothing more than pop psychology and woke philosophies. And all this is going to creep in. We need the Word of God. How do we know what's right and wrong? The Word of God. And so a wise man says, I want this in my family. I want God to build my house. The fool, he just ignores or defies God's principles about the family. Listen, children just aren't going to automatically make it. There's too much freedom. There's too much disconnect. You know, you see it. You go out somewhere, and there'll be a family eating, and they all got their devices, and no one's talking. I'm not talking about adults. I see it with adults. I'm talking about little ones. They all got their phones. The little kid's got an iPad. It's like no one's communicating with each other. You know, and I see it from the standpoint of a tightwad. I'm like, you should have just ate at home. It's cheaper. Okay? But it's like, if you're going to be together, be together. And then you see the simple man. He just doesn't know what God's principles about the family are. That's okay. You see, the simple man can go either way. If he wants to stay in his simplicity, then he will not defy God's principles, but he certainly won't incorporate them because he don't know what they are, and he's probably going to suffer a lot of the same consequences that the fool would. But oh, if he swings to like, I want to learn what God says. You can apply that also to being a spouse. Am I the kind of spouse that I'm supposed to be? If you are not following what God says about the family, you are following a flawed blueprint, right? You got bad instructions. And then next, we won't finish this one, but we'll get started on it. This is really the prototypical verse in Proverbs about child rearing. The procedure must be followed. There's got to be a plan. There's got to be, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, I like the, you know, seven steps to this and you know, how to do, I like that. That I like, make it simple for me. Well, he's going to lay it out here. We know the verse. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Somebody years ago gave me a book by a guy. He's a farmer. And he wrote a book on child rearing. And he used that title, Train Up a Child. And the picture was training a horse and training a child. There was some stuff in there that was a little bit over the top, okay? But he had a plan. Remember, I read a book years ago. It was this lady, she was a trainer. She was a trainer at SeaWorld. She helped back when they could do this. She helped train Shamu. And the whole book was like, she was talking about how she used those principles to train her husband. So she said, like, she always would get irritated. She'd be cooking in the kitchen. And, you know, like husbands, we see food in the kitchen. It's like, can I go, you know, we're picking at it. Like, get out of here. I'm not done. And it used to irritate her. So she said what they would do with Shamu, when they were working at this end of the pool, they would put snacks at the other end of the pool to keep Shamu away. So what she did is, at the entrance of the kitchen, she put a small bowl of snacks. And her husband would eat the snacks and stay out of the kitchen. But funny thing was, he caught on to it. And she did some nonsense one time. He goes, hey, you're Shamu-ing me. Okay? But I'll give her credit. She had a plan. Okay? She had a system. She was training that guy. Well, I don't think we should Shamu our children, okay? But we have to have a procedure. Let me give you a couple of these, and then our time's coming to an end. Here's the procedures from this verse. Ready? Just go through it. First of all, there needs to be, as I mentioned, a plan. First thing, train. Train. Okay? Some people, you go to the gym or you're going to work a certain diet and you hire a trainer. Why do you hire a trainer? Because they have a plan. Like you go in there and say, okay, what's the plan? Like, hey, why don't we try lifting? They know what they're doing. Follow this. There's something in place. It is something very specific. Think about how important our children are to us. We are supposed to train them. And so do we have a plan? Do we have something in mind? Here's what we do. By the way, a lot of the guidelines from the scripture will help you with that. And let me say this. It's hard to have a plan if both parents are not in agreement, right? And let me say two things about that. First of all, if you are single, when you are courting, you are dating, you had better find out before you get married if you guys have the same plan. Oh, you know, but Pastor, she is so beautiful. She's like, on a scale of 1 to 10, she's 50. Okay, you know, she's going to quickly be a 2 if you guys are butting heads on everything, right? You got, no, it's like, you know, honey, you're not that pretty anymore. I know, you're like, no. What are you, that's, you find those things out. See, what our society has done, you're pretty, you're handsome, and everything's physical, and they get married, and they find out they got nothing in common. Well, I want to have a child. Child, huh? Like, I think we should do this to train the child. And you're butting heads. You better make sure you're on the same page. Fact of the matter is, you better make sure you have the same book. And now, what if we are married? We have some disagreement about this. Get together and talk it through. Hey, you know, when we face this, I mean, how are we going to discipline them? You got to be on the, by the way, children are, by the way, you look at those little, oh, they're so cute, they're so innocent, and they're not that smart yet. They're a lot smarter than you think. Oh, yeah. And they know if mom and dad aren't on the same page, they know how to play it. Oh, boy, they're good. That's why I told our kids when they were little, like, look, if you ask me for something and I say no, you're in trouble if you go and ask your mom. You already got an answer. And the same thing, okay? If you ask mom and she says no and you come, I might say yes. I'm like, why did you say yes? I told them no. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I meant, okay? But yeah, you have to be on the same page. Have you ever talked about it, you know? Get there like, hey, you disagree about something. Discipline. Don't argue about that in front of the kid. Go talk about it. Get on the same page. If you have two trainers and one's like, okay, you gotta eat vegetables. The other says, listen, I think the best thing for you is McDonald's. Okay, now you're gonna wanna hire the McDonald's guy, but you might wanna get the vegetable guy, all right? But you have to work together. So parents, be on there. Training means it's purposeful. Here are some essentials you need, and then we'll be done. Of course, as I mentioned, spousal agreement on raising them. Okay? And then second, you ought to have a spiritual goal of God's will for their life. You know, it's like, so often, I just want them to follow God. Because I know this, and I've been doing this long enough time, and I've been saved long enough. If someone will just follow God and follow his will, and they are sincere, and they're right, and they're open, they're always going to get to where they should be. Right? So that, well, you know, I've always wanted, You know, I've always wanted my child to be a doctor or a lawyer. Listen, your child doesn't need to be a lawyer. Fact of the matter is, he's probably going to need a lawyer, okay? It's like, that's not their capability. God made them a certain way. And God knows exactly what's best for them. And so if they will follow God and they will love God and they will just every day seek to just be the right kind of person and be the right kind of Christian, you know what's going to happen when they grow? They're going to get to the right spot. They're going to get to the right spot. But we have to want that as parents. And I know sometimes we want our will for our children. But if that's not God's will, we may get them to where we want them to be, but they may not have joy and fulfillment and purpose because that's not where God wanted them to be. Next, I already mentioned faithfulness to church, right? You need some spiritual fortification behind what you're doing. And church isn't here to undermine any parent's authority. We're here to help you in what you're doing. We back the parents. Then I'd say this too, Christian education. You got to be very careful what our kids are learning. By the way, they're being taught everywhere. The little cart, I mean, come on, Peppa Pig is messed up now. He changed his name, and I don't know what he did. But education, what are they learning? And then also, you need to have a Christian home environment, okay? Just, hey, look, we're Christians at home too. We act like we love God at home too. You know, we don't do things that violate God just because we're home. And so if you have these things, you have a good little plan in place to get started to help them down that spiritual path. And let's stop there for tonight. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. Of course, more than that, we're so grateful for the principles of the Word of God. But Lord, there's so much around us. There's so many voices that seek for our attention. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to focus on your word. Lord, I pray for those of us that are married, have children, families. Lord, that you would help us to learn your word, to continually work, to make your principles a part of our families, a part of our child rearing, part of our lives, so that we can get your blessing on what we're doing. We can have your wisdom, and we can build a house that will be strong and have a foundation that will last. Bless us now until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.